Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. 97.1 FM Talk.
Dude.
Damn it. That's Tim Convy. That's a delightful laugh of Tim Convy. How are you? Good to see you.
Good. Good to see you guys.
Is it just three of us?
It's just us because Sue is getting on a flight to Barcelona right now, where all the protests are happening.
They're shutting down the city.
She's going to go over there and tell them to get out of her face in French. So
yes. We're going to see her on television.
I hope so.
I mean, there's just very little chance we don't see Sue.
We spoke to one American tourist. It's fantastic. Man, what are you eating?
I'm eating a Trico stick.
Yeah, it could go really bad.
I would love that.
Of course she's going over there when all this strife is happening.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted at her last night and she just tweeted back, sigh. Oh, dear.
So, Tony is out today for a funeral and he'll be back tomorrow. Sue won't be back for a couple of weeks. And then Tony is gone all next week to Disney. So we are just bringing in our friends like Skip yesterday and Tim today. And then Bo will be coming in and Trish Gazelle. So yeah, just going to roll with it.
I enjoyed yesterday with Skip. Great stuff.
He's so good.
Yeah, he really is.
He could literally
make you angry?
Do this job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And you're just like, no, but instead, you're killing it in the car business.
Right.
You know?
This is just his hobby.
It's like when Justin Timberlake goes on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
He's as good as anybody.
He's super funny.
And you're just like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, there's got to be.
Skip Weber's the Justin Timberlake of talk radio.
There has. But I always think, okay, there's an average. Like, I bet Skip's pancreas is on the outside of his body. I mean, there's got to be some leveling. Yeah.
Yeah.
His legs aren't real.
Yeah.
You know, there's something like that.
I like it.
His legs aren't real.
Yeah.
No, having played swimming pool basketball against him, I can vouch his pancreas is on the inside and his legs are real. This is the biggest man. So pool anything is harder anyway.
Right.
And he's already 6'8". And in a pool, he's like 9'2".
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like me playing with a little kid.
And so much more of his body is out of the water,
out of the water
than yours.
Exactly.
It's nearly impossible.
That was a fun day, though, wasn't it?
It was really fun.
Probably the worst show we've ever done.
100%.
Because we did the show from his pool and couldn't have cared less.
Mm.
It was like, just get to a break so we can all jump in the
mm-hmm.
pool
yep.
and play basketball and eat at the three buffets he had set up at his house for us and a cigar roller.
And shows like that, you always tell yourself, well, as long as we're having fun,
yeah,
it'll be fun
else
for the listener.
Have fun.
No, it's a disaster,
no,
typically.
That was a bad one. I listened back and was slightly ashamed.
Didn't you say during the show to Andrew, like, is this as bad as I think it is? And he's like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's bad.
It was a bad one.
There's a fine line. I mean, like, your show being similar to ours, people tune in, yeah, for real talk and cover the politics, but mostly just to hear a bunch of people they consider friends either fighting with each other or laughing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fine line between that and like, okay,
mm-hmm.
it's enough.
There's a way, right. And there's a way to do some of those remote shows. And sometimes it's a slam dunk and sometimes it's not. I remember doing the Bikes for Tykes with you guys. And we were all cuddled up under the tent.
My first year, so in 2000... I did 7 Fridays in a row leading up to Christmas live outside.
Mm-hmm.
And one was at like a rain tunnel car wash. And we obviously were not in the car wash, but we were near enough that the mist and the spray would hit us every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like 40 degrees. I got so sick that year. I was just like, oh. Like now if they said that, hey, Dave, we have an idea. 7 shows every Friday leading up to Christmas outside. Like, what? Are you insane?
Or like the Glover night at the ballpark with the band started right as the last segment.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
I get mad every time someone brings that up because of my pitch.
No.
Your
pitch was fine.
I get so mad.
You changed the game plan.
You did.
And that's on you.
And you could see him just, you just went. You
didn't, I know.
You didn't take a breath.
I know what happened.
You thought, I'm going
to
nail this.
Next year, I'm doing it again, even if I have to buy all 350 tickets myself, and I'm going to nail it.
I believe that you will.
I will.
And I think you would have this year if you hadn't changed the game plan at the last second.
Yeah.
And listen, it was fine. No consequences. No one's said anything
for
at least a few days.
This year, I won't be surprised. And here's the thing. Isn't it interesting? They say, like riding a bike. I have thrown more baseballs than I can count. I have pitched off of a mound competitively.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got on that mound at Busch Stadium, it was like a bad movie trope where everything moves away from you.
Of course.
And suddenly that guy catching was 1,000 feet away from me.
Of course.
It was the weirdest thing.
It's nerves. I mean, that happens across the board with all kinds of things. I mean, depending on who, you know, even doing this, somebody, you know, a particular person walks in and it all gets heightened and weird.
No,
and
you're
all
right.
Of a sudden you can't do it. But that's a great example. You see all those bad first pitches. You got to think most of those people can get a ball
throw
from
a ball.
Point A to B, but you freak out. I've never done it.
Yeah.
I probably won't.
No, next year I'll be better just because I will at least have seen it once.
Will you stick with sidearm?
I'm going total sidearm.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Throwing hard, going sidearm.
Good.
Fine.
It got there. It was one bounce. It was fine.
It was fine. People were really nice about it. There were like a couple people that weren't, but what?
It was a fun day.
You're acting like it was this like source of shame, like an albatross hanging around your neck. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah,
people are like, oh, how cool, he was out on the mound.
But you saying people were nice about it acknowledges that there was a deficiency.
Yes.
What he did.
Well, because he's saying
yes. Tim's being so supportive.
Yes.
And you're like, you know what? People overlooked it. I mean, a couple.
You could have really gotten cyberbullied over that
people
one.
People didn't.
They were very polite over.
I'm going to remember
you know
that.
What I mean.
I'm going to remember that one.
You know what I mean.
Next time you screw something up, like, you know what? People are being really nice.
I mean,
a few people have pointed out the obvious, but it's
look,
okay.
Look, I get that on Facebook every day, so I'm fine.
I'm going to be out at Cyberg's this Thursday, just 2 days away, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. for brown sugar bourbon. So there will be a whole lot of brown sugar bourbon there to be had and to be drunk. And I will be there from 6 to 8 at Mid Rivers Mall. So come on out to Cyberg's. Looking forward to it.
The whiskey is aged 2.5 years in new oak charred barrels and then all natural brown sugar and a hint of cinnamon added to give it its outstanding flavor. Sounds good to me. I don't know what a new oak charred barrel is, but sounds good. We have a pretty busy show today.
Tell me about it.
At 3:40, Speaker Tim Jones is going to be on the phone to give us a preview of tonight's Democratic debate on CNN. Excuse me. At 4:40, we will talk to a former State Department senior advisor, Christian Witten. He's going to tell us about China, Hong Kong, all this stuff going on with the NBA, LeBron James's comments.
Mm-hmm.
At 5 o'clock, we'll talk to Chet Pleben about this officer that's charged with murder after shooting a lady inside of her home.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 5:30, we will talk to our buddy Frank Cusimano, who is at the White House, I believe, right now with the St. Louis Blues. I don't know if he's meeting President Trump, but he could be. We'll ask him about it then.
It's a good show. I like
pretty
it.
Good. And Tim's here.
I was so mad. Everyone is entitled to their opinion, but we're in the office today and we have the television going. It was on Fox News and Harris Faulkner brought some rando on to talk about this shooting. Are you familiar with this latest shooting where they shot the lady playing video games?
Mm-hmm.
According to the official report, the woman had a handgun, and when they were putting their flashlight through her window, she pointed the gun toward them, and that's when they shot her. But they didn't, so far, it doesn't look like they identified themselves as police officers in any way. And this guy, who I just didn't like, Rach, you're in there.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember his name.
He was just very slick, and he's like, hey, everyone keep your minds open, because blah, 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 blah. And he goes, you have to remember that these cops were walking into a terrible neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, okay, that's probably why the woman had a gun,
mm-hmm.
because she does live in a terrible neighborhood, and when someone shines a flashlight into her window, she's probably on double high alert mm-hmm. that maybe someone's trying to hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Did that definitely happen, that she did in fact have a gun?
I mean, that's the report.
Okay.
So, I don't know that we know anything definite, but it sounds like she had a gun with her. She's playing video games with her nephew. The cops show up. They're shining a light through mm-hmm. her window. She pulls the gun out. They shoot her.
Wow.
I hate to say interesting because someone's dead, but these cases are always interesting. They're so rarely cut and dried. Because the cops can say, hey, there was a gun muzzle pointed at us. Mm-hmm. But then you can say, well, why the hell? If I'm in Darden Prairie, a nice neighborhood, and someone's shining a flashlight in my window, and I happen to have my gun on me, I very well may take my gun out.
Yes.
And there's nothing illegal about that.
No. I mean, you are protecting... Turn it all around. Turn it all around. It's not a white cop shooting a black person in a terrible neighborhood. It's a white person shooting a black robber who was standing at their window shining their flashlight in. Everyone would be like, one for the good guys. That's why you don't try to rob people. That's why you don't shine your flashlight in, because you're going to get shot in the face. I mean, a black woman in a bad neighborhood has every much right as a white person in a super nice neighborhood.
Do we know that it was a bad neighborhood, or did that Fox guy just...
That's all. I just know from what
he was just throwing stuff out there. He was like, it was a really bad neighborhood. I don't necessarily know that that's true. That's the only place I've seen that reported.
And I do think it's important that the call that came in was a non-emergency call.
Yeah.
Like they just called the regular old police number and said, hey, will somebody go over there and check it out? Which leads me to believe maybe it wasn't the worst neighborhood if your neighbor's calling and saying, oh, the door's open mm-hmm. and that's unusual. And number two, the fact that the officers then went in so heightened, because I got to think in most places, the officers get a non-emergency call that says, hey, my neighbor's door's open, could somebody go over there? That they're not going through with flashlights and guns, that they're going, hey, hello,
yeah, you'd think you would knock on the door.
Because they think that 90-something percent of the time, it's somebody accidentally left the door open or somebody, something like that.
I don't blame the cops for being concerned, because there could have been a crime going down and they could have gotten shot. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why, and I don't put, when someone pulls a, when a criminal pulls a gun on a cop, I put the onus on the criminal. You shouldn't have done that, because you're going to get shot. And if the cop mistakes a cell phone because the guy's been running from him, I'm always on the side of the cop. But when someone is in their home, where, as far as I know, it's legal to have your gun and protect yourself, and that person has no idea you're a cop, I have to put that on the professional. And the professional in that situation is the cop.
Agreed.
I think the only people who would disagree with you on that, Dave, are people who don't believe that this would ever happen to them. Like, I would never be at risk in this situation, so why should I care? She shouldn't have had a gun. She was in her home. Yeah. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She's allowed to have her door open.
Yeah.
She's allowed to have a gun there. She's allowed to be curious when someone is shining a flashlight in her window.
Yeah.
I watched the body cam footage several times. He doesn't even say, stop, police.
Right.
He just shoots.
Exactly. I mean, that's what's remarkable is, I mean, you said, none of these things are cut and dry. This one, to me, feels as cut and dry, much more cut and dry than some of the others that we've seen.
And anyone out there who is very pro Second Amendment, it applies to everybody. It applies to all races and all socioeconomic. And so if this lady is sitting, let's say it is a bad neighborhood, all I know is this jackass said it, but let's say it is, she has every right in the world to protect herself with a gun. And if someone comes to her house and it looks sketchy in that neighborhood, probably is.
Mm-hmm.
And I would... If I'm in that situation and they don't identify themselves as the cops, I'm guessing it's not, because that's what the cops do.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. And she didn't, she pulled her gun on a flashlight.
Yes.
With who knows what could have been behind that flashlight, assuming that even happened, the whole gun thing.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 330. Does anyone know, did they pull the beef from our Taco Bells here? Did you hear all this?
No.
So they're finding metal shavings in the beef at Taco Bell, and it's a Midwest problem. And so they've done a voluntary pulling of products, but yeah. I just didn't know if anyone knew if it was happening here in St. Louis.
Well, it's 2.3 million pounds of beef. So
that's a lot of beef.
Probably our beef, too.
Gotta think it's happening here. Wow.
Hmm.
And how does anybody think that happened?
Hmm.
I don't know. Let me look at my article here. The problem was first discovered after a customer found a metal shaving in their food. Taco Bell says, as soon as we received the first customer complaint, we immediately acted to remove the product from the affected restaurants and proactively worked with the supplier to form the USDA, blah, 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 blah. Does not say how it could have happened.
You know, I hope, for Taco Bell's sake, that there's metal in all the beef. Because it makes me mad, and I don't even own a Taco Bell, that if just one guy got some metal in his beef,
yeah.
or put it in his beef,
yeah.
or whatever it is, like that they would throw it all out when there's no problem with it.
Right.
So I hope it's riddled with metal.
Right. And that headline is affecting business anyway. I mean, how many people yeah. are like, well, I only
I bet it's not in the chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they're going to keep driving.
And right now, I really want Taco Bell.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the other side.
Just
of
knowing
it,
I probably can't have it.
This doesn't affect me whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like yesterday with the whole Panera mac and cheese. Oh, this woman posted an expose. They freeze their mac and cheese and they just mix it up. They just heat it up in the water. Nobody cares. Everyone's still eating it.
Well, who thought otherwise?
I know.
And also, how is that a secret? It's a place, it's just an enormous chain. One in every 100 people must either work there or have been employed there. I mean, how many people in your life do you know that have worked
at
a bread company?
Yeah.
I can think of six.
People still don't believe me when I say this, but like at Mr. Donut, my very favorite donuts, the crumb cakes, the crumb was made from, I don't know how long we let them sit there, but we let the donuts sit there until they were bricks. And then we would just crush them up.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure it's no health hazard, but it's like, that's what we would do.
That's essentially what croutons are, right? Aren't croutons just stale bread?
I think so.
I don't know.
Let's Google it.
As long as there's no metal shavings.
Man.
Croutons, stale bread. Yep. Just stale bread.
See?
Okay. I'm told this, but it's been 15 years. And now I'm looking at it as a 55-year-old instead of like a whatever. I can't subtract 15.
40.
But when I worked at Mr. Donut, I worked a lot of overnights. And there was, and this is not the Mr. Donut you were at.
Okay.
This was one down in East Alton in the islands. Totally different ownership, totally different people. So go to Mr. Donut in Alton because the guy who did what I'm about to tell you about, I'm sure is dead. He was an older guy, Navy guy, drunk Navy old guy. And he would come in and bake it at night. And he was especially drunk one night and he was real salty. And it was me and my buddy Eric worked overnight. And he was like, hey, give me some water for these cinnamon buns. And we're like, oh, whatever. And we didn't. And so next thing we know, he's standing on top of the board peeing on the cinnamon dough and just laughing. And then he made cinnamon bread out of it, cinnamon buns. And then he made one without it. And then the next day, when he never sold them, but he decided he was going to work a little bit out in the front. And if someone was like a jerk, he would laugh and he'd give them one of those. That happened.
Tell me you did the right thing and
told
tried
on
to
him.
Stop that.
I mean,
Dave's like, nothing to do here. This ain't my problem.
I mean, they were jerks. They didn't say thank you.
Yeah, it's been since I was 16.
Oh.
And we're like, I think the guy's name was Al. We're like, oh my God, stop it. That's so gross. But he was like, you know, a grown up. So
how bad would a customer have to have been for him to?
I don't remember the subtleties of it. Okay. I just remember that.
I didn't like the cut of his jib.
We're both just like, oh my God, wow.
Oh, I hate those stories. I hate them so much. And it's amazing how many people that have worked at places have dumb stories like that. And I would, I only take comfort in that most of them seem to be directed towards evil customers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you can only eat at restaurants the same way you go to movies and you suspend your disbelief. You can, to me, any restaurant.
Yeah.
You can only go there and just pretend that nothing's going to happen to your food.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
And I don't want someone to spit in my food, but if I don't know it, then...
I agree.
I'll enjoy my meal.
And some of it's the malicious stuff, but some of it is just the carelessness mm-hmm. that yeah. ends up happening. I remember in high school, we had some class, and somebody asked everybody, would you eat at the restaurant where you work? Because the high school kids, a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And only one kid said yes, and it was Steak and Shake. And everyone else was like, nope.
Hmm.
Now, sometimes I'll be at a restaurant and the server will come out and their thumb is suspiciously close to the food on my plate, which I don't like.
Oh, yeah, you and Tony both have real issues there.
Well, I don't want your fingers my food.
You're right.
But then I have to just kind of get over it because I haven't seen that food until just now. Who knows what could have been mm-hmm. happening?
Am I making this up? Or in the not too recent past, didn't you say when we were eating together, you saw someone stir a drink with their finger?
They were stirring a drink with chocolate syrup in it, and their hand was in the cup. Oh, it wasn't with their finger.
They were holding a spoon.
Yeah, but I think maybe there was some contact.
Gotcha.
It was not good.
And it's funny, places like Waffle House get a bad rap, but like you can see everything that happens.
True.
Those diners, people are like, oh, it's a greasy, it's one yeah. of those. You can see everything that happens.
Right, yeah. I don't know why Waffle House gets a bad rap. I think it's awesome.
I had a friend that used to say, if you don't find the hair in your food, it's not because it wasn't there.
Yeah.
You just didn't find it.
Now, this sounds like a dumb question, but if you do find a hair in your food, are you done?
No, I'm going to be honest. I have a pretty high threshold for that stuff. I just tell myself it's mine.
So you'll just remove the hair and...
Yeah, I just tell myself it's mine.
What if it's clearly
Which we
not?
All know
it's not
fairly
yours.
Likely.
What if it's like 12 inches long?
And blonde.
Yeah, then I... There's
yeah, certain, you're
I
still eating.
Case by case.
Still
I also am not afraid to just eliminate the portion that touched.
That
you
surprises
know?
Me about you, and it makes me like you better.
Thank you.
I would have thought you'd be more finicky.
Mm-mm. No, yeah. not at all. And you're the guy eating stuff from the top of trash cans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have very, very
Dave
few
actually
rules.
Likes a little hair. He's like, ooh, an extra garnish.
There's our quote for the day.
Yeah, it takes a lot for me to say no. But like bugs anywhere near suspicious. My cousins growing up, my mom always says one of the worst things to happen to her as a mother was that her sister's kids, our cousins, told us that every time a fly landed,
it threw up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my mom was like,
I don't know to this day if that's true or not.
I don't either. But my mom had four little kids.
Yeah.
We just knew that and see you later. So there was no eating outside. She said it like ruined her life for a while.
Yeah.
Because we would just not eat anything anymore.
Yeah.
You can't see the vomit.
And we had like fake science on our side.
Yeah.
So she could, you know, we were at a place.
Yeah.
It throws up every time it lands.
It bites and throws up.
So
yeah.
You, who don't want a human thumb too close to your food, are okay with vomit so long as you don't see it.
It's a fly's vomit that you can't see?
Yeah.
I just don't think it's true.
Mm.
I think, as tiny as... Who?
Twitter.
Yeah. Tell us, Twitter.
I'd take thumbs all day over the fly thing. That's gross.
I mean, it has to be the tiniest amount of vomit.
Still. Well, but what's so bad about a hair, though? Especially if you see it and don't eat it. I understand you don't want to, and I'm not saying, oh, I see a hair and I just take a bite. I'm saying the fact that it's there.
What if a really big fly threw up a thumb with a hair wrapped around it? Here's where I'm Band-Aids.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Band-Aids on your hot dog. I think any civilized person throwing that away.
Yeah.
I can't get near one. Like if I'm at a pool and I'm walking around and I see a Band-Aid, I'm ready to leave the pool.
I agree.
Even though it's, there it is, it's not over there.
Right.
But I'm ready to just assume it's everywhere.
I agree.
Yeah, Tony has that too, right?
I think any reasonable person does.
I feel like ashamed if I have if I have like a hangnail or something and I have a Band-Aid on. I want it to be a fresh looking Band-Aid because I know you two are so judgmental. You've gotten in my head.
But if
we've had this talk so many times.
If it's on her finger, that bothers you?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, right, God,
that,
no.
That relieves some pressure.
Yeah, I just made your life a little bit.
I thought it was like Band-Aids
in
general.
I'm not anti-Band-Aid. I'm anti-Band-Aid off of humans.
You let that wound fester.
Right, just floating around. It's disturbing.
Yeah. No, I'll wear a Band-Aid for days. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Give me a Band-Aid right now. I'll put it on.
It should definitely be off of me.
Yeah.
But it's going to hurt, so I'll leave it on.
Yeah.
Man, that's a whole thing, too. Like, when you... Hopefully technology has advanced now where there really is kind of stick free. But when I was a kid, you were taking hair with it. Like when you had to pull a Band-Aid off, there's a reason they say just rip it off and don't, you know, just boom all at once.
Yeah.
But I played a lot of sports, had lots of scrapes and burns and just sitting there waiting like, okay, here it goes. Here it goes. We're pulling the Band-Aid off. Oh,
are they better now?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I had a Band-Aid on.
Yeah, me too. But I think it's partially for that reason. I would love to get back into the game if they're not as rippy.
You'd like to get injured a little more?
Well, no. Of using them. I would, because if I cut myself, it's like how bad is putting this on worth the pain it's going to take to pull it off? And if it turns out they're not as painful, it's also a hair question with me. If it's a place that there's not a lot of hair involved, then yeah, I'm using the Band-Aid. But
Twitter says that flies throwing up is fake news.
Man, that fake news has been around a long time.
Yeah. I'm always going to have a problem. Something you learn that young, it's hard to unlearn.
I thought you didn't want a fly to land on your food because they are around fecal matter.
Oh.
I thought that was the issue.
Speaking of, you want to be the one to tell it?
Tell what? Oh my gosh. What is going on with downtown St. Louis?
Dude.
There is... number two on the sidewalk in multiple areas within walking distance of this radio station. I thought it must be from a horse, like a horse and carriage, because those come around downtown. I don't know.
I think
it might have been from a person.
How do you not know? There's no middle ground between a horse and a human.
I know, and it's not horse.
Okay. I wanted it to be a horse, because that's better.
I didn't see it the first time. Rachel's like, oh my God, there's horse poop on the sidewalk. And I initially thought, horses usually don't take the sidewalk.
Well, humans shouldn't take the sidewalk for that activity either.
But then we turned a corner and it was 100% human.
No, it was like a block away.
Yeah. I mean...
someone's leaving a trail.
Yes. Maybe they're trying to leave a message. Welcome back, guys. DGS. I love our show. I doubt that Mark or Annie Fryer getting calls like the one I got from Steve saying, isn't honey just bee vomit?
I don't know. I think Mark opened with that this morning.
Like, once again, I'm stumped. Isn't it funny? The older you get, you realize, like, I'm 55, and for my entire life, I believed that every time a fly landed on food, it threw up.
Yeah.
But now I'm changing my mind because one random person on Twitter said it's not true.
Fake news.
Yeah, now I'm like, okay, that's gone.
And you rethink honey now, too, I guess.
Speaker Tim Jones joins us. Hello, Tim.
I used to like honey now, Dave.
So. Yep. Nope. Just bee vomit. Tim Convey's with us today, and he just asked a really interesting question on the break that I don't have an answer to. Why don't you go ahead and ask Tim?
If impeachment happens, if it all goes through, and yep, it's happening, and the Democrats, let's just say, got to pick the exact date on the calendar that it goes down, what is that date?
Oh, wow. Tim, that's a great question. I would say they're going to have to put it close to the election of next year, because they're going to want to have it have enough shock value that people think it's just a really bad thing, and they don't want people to think about it too much other than, oh, my God, the president was impeached. And voters are going to have to make almost a knee-jerk reaction to it, an intuition reaction. Do we like that or we don't? I think that's their gamble. Because as you can see, they announced Nancy Pelosi. Doesn't it seem like eons ago that she stood in front of the American flags and had a big press conference? We're going to impeach the president. I mean, that was like almost a month ago, and not much has happened except for a lot of holes being shot into all the arguments. And Adam Schiff was going to call the whistleblower. Well, now he's not. Remember, there was a second whistleblower announced last week, and now that's like disappeared. So, Tim, I think if they're going to do it, it's going to have to be like epic, most perfect shock value, mm-hmm. and then kind of cast the dice and see what the voters do with it.
Yeah, I think the longer this goes on, sort of like being a trial lawyer, and you can say, like, the longer the jury's in, you know, deliberations, it means this or that. I think the longer this goes on, the more it reminds the American people of the Mueller probe and the less they care about it. I think if they really had the goods in the president for Ukraine, it should be a quick hit. Like, they should have already done it. They should have already voted to impeach. And, you know, I'm disinterested. And I'm very interested because I'm a talk show host, and yet I find myself yawning every time the topic comes up.
Well, Dave, yeah, that's the other good point. I think to further expand upon Tim's question, they either needed to do it like 3 weeks ago when they announced it, or now they're kind of screwed, and maybe they just wait and do it at the very end of the election cycle. Because if they do it somewhere in the middle, it looks so political, doesn't it? They made this big announcement 3-4 weeks ago with Nancy Pelosi trying to look, you know, herself very presidential in front of the flags. And then what did they do? They went home on a 2-week vacation. So if Donald Trump was really an existential threat to America that they claim he is, that there was really something going on with him and the Ukrainians, that they were in cahoots on something, would it be so epic that they would go on a 2-week vacation? And Dave, check this out. There's only 28 legislative days that they're actually going to work. Us normal people, we're going to work through October, we're going to work through November, and we're going to work through December. So we're all going to work about another 80 days this year. The legislature in the U.S. House is going to work for 28 more days. And then they're calling it quits for 2019.
Yeah, that's a good point, that if you really believe that the president is such a threat to national security, but you go home for Christmas, it really does. It says a lot. So what are you expecting tonight with, we're down to a dozen 2020 Democrat candidates debating on CNN?
Yeah, only a dozen. Oh my goodness. Will this ever be over? Will we ever have a pick? So Dave, I will give your listeners a couple things to look out for tonight. So there's some subtextual drama going on here. Guess who this debate is sponsored by? CNN, okay? Well, what just happened in the last 3 days? Project Veritas puts out another bombshell report with allegedly recordings of the guy at the top who runs the entire network saying things like, we need to focus on impeachment 24/7. I want the anchors to do this. I want the anchors to do that. We need to hate on Donald Trump. I don't like Tulsi Gabbard, you know, but I do like Elizabeth Warren. So you've got the host of the debate tonight, the very week that they're being exposed for having their finger on the pulse of who is going to be the Democratic debate. Exactly what Bernie Sanders and the Bernie crew complained about last year, that the DNC was doing the same thing. So the whole thing looks, hey, Bernie said it and Trump have said it, rigged. The whole thing looks rigged. And so that's what's going on in the subtext. So I think everybody's going to be watching those moderators, how fair they are to all the candidates up on the stage. Are they trying to pick favorites? Are they trying to guide the debate? Secondly, is anyone going to go after Joe Biden? I mean, come on. Are they really just admitting that none of them can beat Biden? Or are they going to go after him on the Ukraine deal? On the Hunter Biden with the Ukrainians and the Chinese, all those conflicts of interest, it all smells really rotten. Are any of them going to try to tag him, or are they going to say, well, that's Donald Trump's attack, and we don't want to be anywhere near identified with anything Donald Trump does, so we're not going to lay a glove on Joe Biden? Are you going to basically admit that Joe Biden is your candidate, and this is all for show, or for somebody to get book deals, or maybe be chosen for VP, or in his cabinet?
No, that's, I think it's going to be a rush to see who goes after him first, because whoever goes after him is going to be in the press tomorrow. My guess is it's Kamala, because she's gone after him before. And I think the way that he responds, like, literally, this could be the whole ball game for Joe. That if someone goes after him for this, and if he comes out really strong and he knocks it right back in their face, oh, okay, he's back in. But if he does another one of these just really limp sort of or like a gaffe kind of deal, I think he could be done.
And Dave, last point I'll make is that you brought up Kamala Harris. She and Buttigieg and Beto, they've got to throw some Hail Marys tonight, right?
Yeah.
They have not gained any ground. This is our fourth debate. They haven't gained any ground. They've all slipped way down into lower double digits. This is between Biden and Warren, with maybe Sanders bringing up the rear. And so everybody else has got to throw Hail Marys and bombs to the end zone and see what sticks.
Yeah, should be entertaining. All right, Tim, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Thanks, gang.
All right, guys, coming up after the top of the hour break, Tim Combi's with us the whole show, and we'll have headlines.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.